Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, we have a full slate of topics today, including Christmas parades. Pipe, you texted us from a Christmas parade in which your daughter was dancing, which that in and of itself is probably sinful. But
does it matter if it's like ballet and tap as opposed to dancing to Beyonce or something like that?
It probably does.
Now, at the Southern Baptist institution that I'm most familiar with, the way we get around that is we actually have a class that involves the D word, but it's called rhythms. So if you call it rhythms.
Also effective since most of the students there are white.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they lack the very thing that they're learning about. Introducing them to the very concept of rhythms. So along those lines, you texted us miserably from this Christmas parade. I remember the day. It was about 41 degrees and raining sideways, and it just seemed like the worst place on earth to be. Now, for me, all parades are the worst place on earth to be because they're loud and they involve the general public. Wanted to get your guys' take, though, on Christmas parades. How do we feel about this? Big R, obviously being the Christmas aficionado in the group, I assume that he probably sponsors his own Christmas parade there in A-Town. Or actually, what would it look like, boys, if Sojourn, the Sojourn cohort church planting network had its own parade, man? What would that look like?
Oh, man, look, guys, I'm going to be honest with you, and this is going to be kind of a shock for both of you and maybe our listeners. So I want you, if you're near something and you can grab a hold of something, brace yourself.
Yes, I'm sitting down.
So. Okay, yeah, please be sitting down. Listeners, please sit down. It's responsible radio, right? We're taking care of our listeners right now. I'm not down with Christmas parades. It's like one Christmas thing that I'm not into. Here's what's crazy, right?
I think you mean the one Christmas thing you're not into.
The one Christmas thing I'm not into. I mean, there might be one or two other things, right? But like, this is definitely in the top two of the two things that I'm not into in regards to Christmas. But man, so when I moved to Ohio, there was no such thing as Christmas parades out in California, right? Right. So like I never grew up ever in my life going to a Christmas parade. So then I moved to this small town and like they do this Christmas parade. Sure. And like it's like one of the, I'm going to get in trouble for this. It's literally one of the worst, like the worst things like you've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, obviously the weather's miserable. Like what else is bad about it?
Well, number one, they do it 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. What do you think about that?
Yeah, right. So it might have been like 74 degrees that day in Ashland.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a beautiful, really beautiful 74 degree balmy yeah. day in the fall, right?
Everybody's out in their parade. Ohio State t-shirts and khaki shorts.
Yeah, and that's just everyday life here, right? Everybody wearing red, everybody wearing blood red. Yeah. Sure. And so then they do this parade and it's just like people in their cars, like driving up the street, you know, playing like a Holly Jolly Christmas from Burl Ives, you know, like, and I'm like that, like that's the parade, like that's why the whole town is standing, you know, out in Main Street right now watching this thing. So like, I just, man, it was like a thing to me where I saw it and I went, this is not Christmas. So yeah, I don't get it. I'm a little out on it.
Well, and guys, I'm sorry. I'm kind of fixated now on this idea of what a Sojourn Christmas parade or a hipster Christmas parade would look like. What would that include? So it wouldn't be.
It would be like Sufjan Stevens Christmas albums playing on
Sufjan
loop.
Stevens kind of, and everybody kind of moping and shuffling around.
Not making eye contact instead of, you know, handing out like double bubble gum to the kids on the side. They'd be like handmade candy canes that, you know, taste like soap or something like that.
Guys, the reason why it's so hard for you guys to come up with that is because Sojourn would probably not be a Christmas loving network. And the reason why is because most pastors don't love Christmas in general, which is the reason why I'm actually writing an article on why pastors hate Christmas right now. It's just, it's kind of an in-church phenomenon.
Why do pastors hate Christmas? I don't get this.
Most pastors I've met, like literally, Like, they absolutely hate Christmas. They're Christmas haters because, like, this, they just try to get through the season. They hate it. It's like the worst time of the year for them. They feel like all of their, you know, all their responsibilities, like, triple. They got to come up with, like, another innocuous, like, cheesy sermon about, like, angels. Like, they don't. Most of the guys I've met are like, please just get me through the year. Please get me through this.
Well, there's all these, like, it's Christmas. Christmas in church is like, it's like you take all the social pressures of Christmas in society, where you have to go to all the stupid parties and buy all the presents and all that. But then you stack on like a bunch of religious expectations on top of it. So there's like services and music programs and all this stuff. And it's just, so it's all that without any of the presents. Like it is just a high pressure month.
So it's just all of the obligations, none of the gifts. That's what you're breaking it down to, Piper.
Yeah, and no spiked eggnog. Like it's just you got
Big T. Do you love how Piper just didn't even like he didn't even equivocate on that? It was like, yeah, that's it. That's what it is. We got to do everything, and nobody buys us any presents.
That sounds miserable, you guys.
Well, and so the other reason it's hard to come up with a hipster Christmas parade is because very few things are more commercial than like a Christmas parade. It's like local, it's businesses and politicians and all this stuff. And like,
it's all that like modern era stuff.
You get all like the commercial Christmas stuff, and nobody is less commercial than hipsters. Like getting a group of hipsters together is, I mean, like the only people who are successful at that is church plants and like singer songwriters. So
that's true. Sojourn's already done this, man. They've already got the corner on this, man.
Yeah, so good luck getting them to walk around in the cold in their uncomfortable boots.
I guess that's what I want, Pipe. I want them walking around in the cold in their tight jeans. Is that too much to ask? Can we get them into their tight jeans in the cold, clutching like a pour over coffee and
pour over eggnog?
Sufjan Stevens.
We'll do a pour over eggnog station for our Christmas. Again, not Eve service, but Eve of the Eve service.
Now, Ronnie, do you actually like eggnog?
You know what? I actually can't stand it.
Mold snot. It's the nastiest substance.
Never heard it described like that. It's just a little. It's a little too sweet for me. I'm not like it's just a little too sickly sweet for me. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. That texture is just.
My wife like guzzles it all day. So like every day she's just been. You know, she's been like semi drunk on eggnog now for the last like, you know, how many days into December are we? 6 days. Yeah. I mean, it's just literally like
at this point, who cares? Just get to the end of it. If we make that's it to December.
Does. Yeah, exactly. Like get to December and then she has to go like dry out from eggnog for the month of January. You know, it's insane.
Well, you know what's not sickly sweet? The dazzling array of holiday options from Missionalware, our sponsor for today's episode.
What a transition, Big T.
That was really good.
You know,
that was gold.
It's radio magic, you guys, and it's the kind of thing that happens with frequency here on the program, man. Because I get to do radio like, with you, fine gentlemen.
Well, I know, and that was so. I mean, Big T, that was so smooth that I kind of thinking maybe we're getting too slick now. I mean, that was incredibly slick.
Maybe we might be getting too slick. We're getting too commercial.
That's what I mean. I'm starting to feel like a hipster at a Christmas parade right now. Like
I know
I'm
you're not feeling a little uncomfortable
by
this.
I am a little uncomfortable with this. Right?
You're feeling uncomfortable by how seamlessly I integrated commerce into our typical gritty discussions.
It's like I walked into a room with pump coffee instead of a pour over station. You know what I mean?
Dude,
like I don't
like
know what
you walked into a mall in the 1980s, man.
I mean. I don't know what to do. Like, hey, look, there's like a record and tape cassette store.
Yeah.
What do I do with that?
There's a Tower Records. Wait, what did they call those places? There was Tower Records, and then there was – what was the other one?
Licorice Pizza?
No. The record and tape place.
I mean, it was Virgin Records.
Virgin Records, Tower Records. It's not the one I'm thinking of.
There's a bunch of back in the day, a bunch of old school.
Back in the day, I'm trying to think of like 80s mall.
They held down a corner spot in every mall. So like you had the department store, and you walk out of the department store, and it's the first place on your right in every single mall.
Dude, that's so true, man. So true. Yeah, it'll come to me later. But Pipe, why don't you tell us about these terrific products from Missionalware, which one day allegedly we'll see arriving on our doorstep.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we're telling you all this on hearsay because we haven't seen all of our swag yet. But no, so Mission Aware has kind of a full array of gifts for the your most beloved Calvinist or the person you most want to become a Calvinist, because nothing will convert somebody like a coffee mug.
Absolutely.
If churches have proven anything over the years, it's the effectiveness of coffee mugs and free t-shirts to save people. But if you're more inclined, they also do pint glasses. They also have sweatshirts and wall hanging art, like prints of different things, like the five solas and different quotes. And then if you're not sure what that that reformed or yet to be reformed person would like, they do both digital and paper gift certificates, so you can let them pick their own swag, and then maybe just point them to the Happy Rant section where they can get their t-shirts and their coffee mugs and their Yeti style tumblers and their moleskins and their pint glasses and all that stuff. So just go to missionaware.com, look all that stuff up. It really is a pretty good selection of gift giving items. And then so I'm looking at it now. They have a 500 years of Reformation design that came out recently. They have a John Calvin Charles Spurgeon hoodie. They have one that features an outline of Spurgeon's beard. That sounds like some sort of a strange expression, like Spurgeon's beard. They have one about killing sin or it'll be killing you that involves a skeleton and a dagger and somebody who looks like he's being beheaded. So, I mean, they got all sorts of cool stuff on here. Yeah, I mean, you can go sort of gothic and dark. They have Bible covers if you are so inclined. Are Bible covers a serious thing now, or are they an ironic thing now?
I think they're ironic. I would go ironic.
That would be my inclination, but I also attend a Southern Baptist church, and I know they're not ironic for everybody. So whether you are or are not an ironic Bible cover user, you can get yours there as well. So again, missionaware.com.
Has irony even hit the Southern Baptist Church? Is that even a term that
they're 25 years behind irony?
And the Southern Baptist Church hit back. Let's be clear about that. Irony, no short skirts, and no beer. Go to missionaware.com, check that stuff out, get a gift certificate for somebody if you are indecisive and can't figure out what they would like or you don't know their size. And then one other thing we wanted to highlight, since we talk a lot on this podcast and you may be interested in having us come and talk a lot for you for retreats, conferences, weekend services, whatever it is, Ted and Ronnie and myself all do speaking when available. And so if you go to the Happy Rant tab on the Blazing Center, so theblazingcenter.com is where this podcast is hosted. And if you go to the Happy Rant tab, there are links to where you can book each of us to speak if that interests you. So we would love to be invited. We all enjoy doing that. So go to that Happy Rant tab on theblazingcenter.com and invite us to come speak. You could book all three of us if you wanted to. That would be pretty amazing.
Wow.
That would be really amazing. There's nothing I'd like more than to do a speaking gig with the two of you gentlemen.
What would we talk about, Big T? What do you think? Like, what would you like us to talk about? Why don't we give some listeners some ideas about some of the things we would talk about?
I got an idea.
What?
What Pipe texted me about during Sunday afternoon football this last week.
Uh-oh.
This is what we in the radio business, Big R, call a segue into our next topic.
And nobody's better at that than you, baby.
Thank you, baby. Pipe, do you remember what you asked me via text last week?
Let's see.
During Sunday afternoon football?
Which subject was this? I feel like we've texted so often. Was it about how you discuss with your sons some uncomfortable commercials that end up on television?
That's exactly what it was. If you watch pro or college football, you know that there is a glut of erectile dysfunction advertising out there that you have to sit through as a fan of either sport. Now, what that says about us as football fans, Pipe, I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about it.
It means that football fans are compensating for something.
That could very well be. That could very well be. Big R, I'm just going to let you go get a cup of pour over coffee. So that should take you about 25 minutes to make. And by that, I mean 2 hours. And just come on back in after you're done with that. But Pipe,
I'm already back. My wife already dropped just a gallon of eggnog at my...
Pipe, you asked the very serious question, how do I handle this with my boys? My boys are 8th grade and 4th grade, so they are very much in the curious, wanting to watch football with dad years, and wanting to know about all these things. So I have to tell you, though, man, with my older one, I already handled this because of a road trip that we took together. And I don't know, maybe this could be an interesting conversation.
It sounds like a really interesting road trip.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. Some parents do the old bait and switch, and they like tell their kids they're taking a fun road trip, but then actually like talk to them about sex on the road trip, and which I think is a really dirty trick, man. And I get really mad whenever people like talk about having done that to their kids. But this was not that kind of road trip. This was just a fun one. We drove out west, drove to Colorado. We actually heard your dad speak pipe. Went up through Minnesota and South Dakota, and had a great
trip. That tees up a conversation about sex like nothing else.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing says let's talk about sex like a John Piper sermon. But we were actually driving back through Nebraska, and this was probably, I don't know, Tristan was probably in like 5th grade. And we had stopped at like a gas station to use the bathroom, and we were standing there. I don't know if I can say this on the air, but we were peeing. We were peeing next to each other. We were in side-by-side urinals, and above us was a condom dispenser. And I kind of looked at it and looked at Tris, and he looked at me, and I'm like, here it comes, man. This is going to be the conversation, you know? We're going to have this talk in a bathroom in Nebraska, in a sad, depressing gas station bathroom. And lo and behold, we had the talk. It wasn't that bad. And that was the end of it. But so when those commercials come up, I don't get a whole lot of questions anymore. At most, I'll get like a snicker and kind of a look away, you know, like they don't really want to talk about it. They know I don't want to talk about it. And that's kind of the end of it. But I don't know, Pipe, how would you handle that?
Well, thankfully, my daughters much prefer watching basketball and baseball to football. And for whatever reason, in those other sports, these commercials are not as prevalent. So I've so far ducked this problem. What raised the question was the amount of ire I saw from at least one guy who I know to be a fairly conservative pastor on Twitter, who just he was very displeased with Cialis for the side-by-side bathtub commercials. Because of the he called it an instant mute and how uncomfortable it made him and inappropriate for young viewers and whatnot, which, you know, wow. I guess it's not something that's necessarily appropriate for young viewers, but I was mostly amused at how angry he was, you know.
Dude, that is funny. That
instant
he feels
mute, thanks, Cialis.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess I've been around those ads for so long that it's just kind of funny now. And they used to be a lot funnier, actually. Like in the early iterations of those ads, they were really over the top.
Yeah, when it was like a side-by-side bathtub, like out in a vineyard or something, and you're like, what?
Or no, dude, it was like some dude like polishing a baseball bat. You know what I mean? With like a.
They're like, in case you don't know what we're talking about, here's some overt symbolism.
Oh my gosh, man! Yeah, some guy walking around with a Louisville Slugger in his hand. You know. That was crazy.
I always find it funny when that moment strikes and like the guy's grilling steaks. I'm like, if he leaves right now,
those steaks are gonna be ruined. It's like $50 down the drain.
And both of them are gonna be mad about that because those are like prime porterhouse steaks that you don't just walk away from that.
Yeah, you ruin the whole night at that point. You know,
Ronnie, what do you have to say on this? Any thoughts?
Oh, wait, were we just talking about something? Oh, man, I don't know. I'm watching Hulu and, you know, all that kind of stuff or Netflix and those ads come on. And I just think they just seem so cheesy. You know what I mean? It's like you got like the voice, like doing, you know, you got the narration. I feel like you always have the woman wearing like the oversized football jersey that's just sort of like pacing through the house.
Yeah.
And it's just like it doesn't really seem catered for any one people group. You know what I mean? Like if you want to come at it from a marketing standpoint.
People that don't exist, I think, is
right. It's like who is this ad for exactly? You know what I mean?
They pitch these like they're consumer goods, but they require seeing a doctor. You can't just go like grab them like Tylenol, you know, it's and then okay, so the latest iteration of these commercials that always makes me laugh is that they advertise single packs. So like you get Viagra, which I think normally comes in a pill bottle, which is not very big because it's a pill bottle. And now apparently if you're traveling and you can't fit a pill bottle in your luggage, you can put in a single pack of Viagra. And I'm like, wait.
So you can have sex one time.
That's their selling point. Their selling point is you can use one of these.
Like, yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, you must be really overpacked if you can't put in like a small pill bottle.
Dude, you would think you would leave out like an extra t-shirt just to make room for that pill bottle. I'm thinking.
Yeah, just
if it's that important of a trip, you know what I'm saying?
One would assume. And I mean, and if it's a super short trip, like then you're not packing that much anyway. So
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know the logic behind this. It is strange though, just philosophically, and this is maybe taking it like deeper than we want to, but I do think it's weird how as a culture we're just so rabidly averse to aging. You know what I'm saying? It's just like anything related to aging, even in football. I mean, almost every product you see is some sort of like look younger, feel younger, be younger. You know, sports talk radio, it's all like erectile dysfunction and testosterone therapy. And it's just weird, man, how we're not allowing people to ever grow older as a culture, you know? It's like the worst thing you can do is acknowledge the fact that you're getting a little bit older, man. It's crazy. I think psychologically it's doing weird things to people.
Well, it's clearly doing something strange to you because you're so worried about your thinning hair as
two or three episodes ago. If there was a pill for that, man, I'd take it.
Pretty sure, a single pack or a multi-pack.
Pretty
sure there are pills for that, aren't there? Or is that, or are there only like treatment therapies?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not that worried about it, but I am, but I'm not. You know what I mean? It's complicated. I don't really want to talk about it.
You got your own thing going on with that.
I got my own stuff going on with it.
Right. We didn't mean to air out your dirty laundry. I apologize.
Wow. No, I did it on the program myself, man. I was in too honest a mood the other app.
You really were, Big T. That was a rare moment for the program.
Speaking of being in too honest a mood, man, this kind of tees us up for our third and final topic, which I think is our most interesting and which we can spend maybe the most time on.
And which Ronnie won't feel really uncomfortable about.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. He might feel uncomfortable about this.
Guys, I'm just trying to stay employed. You know.
But Piper, you teed this one up via text in our production meeting this morning. And it was about this issue. And we've kind of bumped up against this before. But this idea of persona, how does one balance a private life and a public persona online? And I guess this is sort of germane for those of us who have a public persona because we're authors or because we're pastors or whatever the case may be. But people who seem to, I guess, have trouble balancing the private life and the public persona, like the idea that you need to share something publicly that happened privately in order to sort of validate it. Do you know what I'm saying here, Pipe?
Yeah, and I mean to kind of add to that, I think doing like certain interactions that happen online that would just be way better to happen offline or would mean more if they were offline. So part of what sparked this in my mind was actually a pretty serious thing. A friend of mine from high school posted on Facebook not too long ago that her father recently passed away, very unexpectedly. And he's probably 10 or 15 years younger than my dad. So, like this was a very shocking thing for the whole family. And so she posted it, just kind of putting word out to people and letting people know. And there was just like this string of people who kind of gave her, you know, support and wishes publicly on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly certain that all of those people had good intentions, but I know that my first interaction was like, if I don't post a "I'm sorry" under that under her post, I'm not kind of publicly validating my feelings of sympathy.
Sure.
When what would be more meaningful is to shoot a text or send a private message that just says, "Hey, you know, praying for your family, can't imagine what you're going through," but it's not a public thing. It's just an interaction between me and a friend about that. And I feel like that's everything online now. Like, you have to publicly validate your feelings, your outrage, your like, I mean, if you didn't post a picture of your Christmas tree, did you actually have a Christmas tree? If you didn't post a picture of your kids decorating the Christmas tree, did they actually have a good Christmas? I mean, these kinds of things. So it's kind of all of that. So not just balancing like public and private persona for platformy kinds of people, but just like your average family. I feel like if it doesn't happen online, it's like it was cheapened in some way.
Mm. Mm. Big R, what do you say about this, man? I obviously am not in this world. I quit. Yeah,
do you even have a life, Ted?
No, I don't, man.
Do you do anything?
Can you prove that you live, Ted? Can you prove that you actually live?
What's that, baby?
I said, can you prove that you actually live?
This show is actually the only proof that I live. This is all that I do.
Are your kids happy people? Like, I've never seen a picture of them being happy online, so I'm curious whether or not they
Well, that must mean they're miserable.
Yeah.
You know, it follows then that logically one would say that they're miserable.
Logically, one would question whether you have kids since we've never seen them online.
And one would question whether or not I'm actually a fabulous father, right? Because I haven't posted all kinds of happy pictures of me with my children.
One would question if you're actually a person, Big T.
No, I know, man. This strikes at my very personhood.
Right. Do you exist?
I don't know. That's kind of what I'm going to be thinking about as you guys mull this over, man. It's really we're really striking a chord here this afternoon.
I know it's big. I don't know what to think about it. I mean, we all post things. Pipe and I are online. We all post things. You know, Pipe occasionally posts things with his kids. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I do think, like anything else and anything that's completely unmonitored, which is anybody's activity online, I mean, obviously it's going to go off the rails, you know, to the degree that we're talking about. And you know what, though? But I think you guys hit a nerve, though. I think this is what I always find weird. There's two things that always bother me about what people do on social media. Number one is the one thing you just mentioned, Piper, which is like deeply, deeply personal things like to the, of that nature, you know, which to me should be best dealt, you know, handled like between family members and friends, you know, on another format, right? Phone calls, texts, whatever. The other thing is besides that, it's when this one drives me crazy. I don't see as much of it anymore, but it used to drive me crazy. Like when people would just dialogue and make plans online, right? So somebody would Facebook somebody like, not like a private message, but just like publicly and say, hey, if you're not doing anything tonight, like, do you want to like cruise over and we'll like watch that movie or, you know, or whatever. And like, I always just thought like, what, like, is this like, is this what it's come to? Like, you can't, you literally, this is the only way you can talk about like everything in your personal life. So I think people have more or less moved away
from that because they recognize the very public nature. And, you know, there's enough horror stories that have gone around, true or not, of, you know, people being stalked online and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, there's just, to me, it's as if, it seems to me that the mindset of a lot of people is if it's not lived online, it's not lived fully. And to me, it's just the opposite. It's like the stuff that happens offline is usually the much more significant, and the stuff that happens online is just information. You know, like you post some pictures, you post some funny stuff, like you, or write articles or those kind of things. Like that's a piece of maybe who I am or things that I do. But all of the most significant interactions happen in conversation or offline in some capacity, and I think a lot of people get it reversed, and so they feel it's almost like it's like they're disappointed if they didn't get an awesome picture of a great experience they just had, and that disappointment takes away from the experience. Like they couldn't have enjoyed that dinner or that time with their kids or whatever because they didn't post about it or something. It's a weird phenomenon to me. And then the public sort of joining in on things. Like if I don't we've talked about this, like if I don't get in on this current event or this trend or this hashtag or this this outrage, then like I'm not validated. I haven't proven something that needed to be proven. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird.
But I mean, do you think it like, I mean, that's a, but see, that's a great thing to get into. I mean, do you think that like all of these things have replaced in a sense, kind of the idea of what the photo album used to be? Like, I think people feel like if I don't, and obviously it's going to be taken into other directions, but
yeah, but
you know,
here's where the departure from the photo album, Big R. I didn't walk around the grocery store with my photo album forcing everybody to look at it. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course.
Even when people came by my house, I wasn't like, hey, have a look at my photo album, you know?
Right, right. But my point is that like in people's minds, are they feeling like we have to capture something for posterity and like this now is the method in the format of which we have to do that, you know, which is just like, man, it's not even a real thing. It's not something we're going to have as a memory, unless we have some place to secure it. It's almost like social media now is where we like where we like hold these things, where we keep them, where we secure them. It's almost like safekeeping, right, for people.
It's kind of like that, except the opposite is completely true, where the more that gets posted, the less it matters. Like,
right, exactly.
The more pictures of happy couples on dates that I see, the less they stand out as like, wow, that's really, you know, good for them. And the more it's just like, oh, good Lord, and scroll past it kind of thing. And I feel like people both overvalue and undervalue kind of just living life, you know, in the moment. Dude, you know, because
look, it's ahead. A way to compete. Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's a way to compete, and it's a way to give meaning to an otherwise pretty drab. And I say the word meaningless, not as a pejorative, but I mean, it's just not that interesting if you take your wife on a date or if you don't.
I mean,
it really truly doesn't matter. It has no meaning.
It's a meaningful thing for two people in that block of time.
For the two people involved. Right. Absolutely.
And so that's what I mean when I say people overvalue, because they take their mundane and they like publicize it. Now, I recognize there is value in sharing some of that for friends and family from a distance, you know, so they can keep up with your kids and stuff like that. But that's like 1% or less of what all is posted. Most of it's something else. And then they undervalue the actual enjoyment of that 1.5 or 2 hours they have with a spouse or with friends or with their kids. Or at a sporting event, you know, like I have to conscientiously remind myself it's easier to watch. Like if I go to a baseball game or a football game, it's easier to watch it with my eyes than through the screen of a camera.
Absolutely.
And so, and I enjoy it a lot more when I do that and start looking around and just sort of taking in what's around me. And nothing is lost if I don't post a picture. Like posterity is not affected, because honestly, nobody's ever going to look at that picture ever anyway, because there's 4 bazillion digital photos out there. All of which, you know, are of mundanity.
I don't know that, like, we, you know, plus the other side of it too is just like not, you know, I don't think that people think that deeply about it. I just think it's almost like it goes without saying that when you're at an event, if you're doing something that has some significance, that, you know, whether it's an event or a date or whatever it is, I think it's just automatic now that people, you know, automatically want to chronicle it. You know what I mean? I don't even think it's thought of that deeply for a lot of people. It's just, well, of course we're going to take a picture of it. Of course we're going to post what we did online. Like, I don't even know that it's thought of that deeply. Like, we're talking about people feeling validation. Maybe that's true, but what that says is that that level of validation from posting online has just become the norm.
But I guess my question is wouldn't it be better to sort of disassociate ourselves from that validation, or like unplug ourselves from it? Like, I love Twitter, but probably 2 days out of the week, I'm fairly jealous of Ted and the fact that Ted has no interaction with Twitter whatsoever.
Yeah.
And
I love how you – Pipe, I love how you say that, like, that's not an option for you though.
Well, it is an option, but like it's not – I mean, if I was to weigh the pros and cons, it doesn't come out ahead. But there are sometimes I think it might, you know. And the point that you just made, Ronnie, is one that makes me wonder – I mean, if it's that deeply ingrained, like – that seems like a problem to me. It seems like,
well, I think it is. I think it is a problem, but it's become the norm now. It's. I just think it's the norm. I think it's the norm because nobody even thinks about it. You know, nobody's questioning it. Nobody's saying, "Well, gosh, babe, I don't know. We're out. I mean, should we do a selfie right as the meals land on the table and you can arrange your drink around it and it'll look all amazing? Like, should we?" I just think it's done without any thinking.
But,
right?
But have you ever been in a situation where you're with a group of people and like everybody's having a great time and you're laughing and you're whatever, and then somebody's like, "Oh my gosh, we need a photo to post on Instagram," and it's like, you can hear the brakes and the tires squealing on the fun that you guys were just having, because
dude, every time. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time.
It is always, I mean, if you're doing it for yourself, then there's, you know, that's between you and your own ego. But when you do it with a group of people, like you get the clash of the two worlds, the people who are enjoying the moment and the people who are interrupting the moment to publicly post it. And I don't know. It's just, I'm not trying to make a moral statement out of it. It's more just an observation of kind of where people find their – it seems like a validation thing to me. It seems like a validation of living life well, or – I mean, Ted, you said competition. Yeah, that comparison kind of thing. I mean, it's just – it's a really strange phenomenon. And it got to me because of my own compulsion to be like, I have to post a comment on this or else I'm not a good friend.
Yeah.
And
let me ask you guys another hypothetical question. Have you ever looked at a picture of two people on a date night who've just photographed their meal and themselves and gone, oh, how terrific for them. That's really great. Because I haven't. That's not the response I have to that.
Only if it's like my parents.
I roll my eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you, Pipe. Yeah. If it's like something out of the norm and you see somebody doing something that you would hope they would do that they don't do often, and then they actually took a picture of it, that's where I go, well, that's not, I'm glad they did that. Great. And then you move on.
Yeah. And it's, and the thing is like that matters because of everything that you know about those people offline.
Exactly.
It's the offline relationship. Like one of my brothers, they had twins a few years ago. And so for like 2 or 3 years, their life was just chaos because infant and toddler twins are insane. And then, so when they were able to kind of get out of the house and like go on their first date after like 2 years or whatever it was, I was happy for them, but that's because of offline circumstances that I knew about, not because what a sweet picture of them at, you know, Tracy's pub in Minneapolis or whatever.
Exactly.
Nice.
Oh man. I tell you, this is not making me want to get on Twitter. I know there's a little movement afoot on Twitter to get me on there, and none of these discussions do a whole lot to incline my heart toward it.
Ted, I don't know why, Big
okay,
G.
Ted, what in the world could incline your heart towards getting on Twitter? Because
dude, nothing.
I was going to say, because I don't think it exists.
I can't think of one thing that I would like about it, to be honest.
What if you got paid?
What's that?
What if you got paid?
Dude, if I got paid, I would probably do it if the number was right. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, would you inadvertently, by using it as a way to promote your own books, would that be a way to sort of
That doesn't work. I know that doesn't work. So, and it doesn't work commensurate with the amount of effort that it would take. You know what I mean?
The amount of clicking.
That's it. Well, no, not the clicking, but I'm talking about like the sort of cosmic and emotional effort. You know what I mean? Slogging through everybody's cleverness and photos. Like, I don't want it. You know, I just don't. It's too much. I can't do it.
Well, I don't.
We're just going to let that. We're just going to let that literally do it. Fade out like a note, just like literally just fading out into the sunset.
I just can't do it, guys.
I can't do it.
I'm not strong enough.
Fade to black.
Boys, we have done what we always do on this program, which is to wander to and fro. I've enjoyed it. It's not every day that you get to talk about online personas, erectile dysfunction, and Christmas parades. I feel like we're the only program, maybe in the world, that can deliver those three topics in the same.
I think that's true. In the I think we, like right now, we could have just done a Guinness Book of World Record, couldn't we?
I'd like to see the rankings. We haven't lately looked at the iTunes rankings overseas. I want to see how we're doing in Europe, but Europe, Scandinavia. Those sorts of places.
Happy Rant, the only program in the world. That's what I want our tagline to be. The only program in the world.
Yeah, not with a qualifier after that. Just the only program in the world.
That's what I mean. The Happy Rant. The only program in the world.
That's the goal, Big R. See, I can't be on Twitter a bunch of hours a week when I'm working toward that. I need to be single-minded about this.
I know you do, man. You need to be focused. You need to be focused, Big T.
This show is everything to me. This show is my kids. You know what I mean?
I know that. I know that. See, that's the thing. You got something different going on than me and Piper, and that's why this show, and as the MC of this show, Big T, this needs to be your primary focus.
And it really is. I just want.
I know. I know it is. I mean, the amount of hours and the time you spend. I mean, someday, you know what, Big T? Maybe this is a topic for the next podcast. But I want you to explain to our listeners all sort of the vocal exercises that you do before you start one of our podcasts. You know?
Yeah, I know it's extensive. You know, I would just have them watch the movie The King's Speech. You know,
right.
I feel like I could give them a little window into what our lives look like as radio pros. But you know what? I don't want to bore them. I don't want to move back the curtain. I mean, if they can just enjoy the magic that happens once a week on Mondays when the show drops, then I feel good. I feel gratified. You know,
that's
it's
well
sort
said.
Of like it's posting a picture of a nice meal for me. You know, this is the equivalent. So
you are validated.
I'm validated. My life has meaning because of this program.
It does.
Boys, let's end it there. We have wandered to and fro. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
There's nothing in this world that he cannot do if we truly allow his love.
We can do nothing without him. Anything that we do apart from him is not something that's permanent.
We all need his grace. That's everybody. We are all broken people on our way to a place that we believe is waiting on us in heaven.
You can find more of Bridges with Monica Schmelter at lifeaudio.com.
In Christ, we are all one family.
Amen.